bring Christian greetings. It's good to be here this morning. It's a beautiful spring day. How many of you were looking forward to spring after that lovely weather we had there several weeks ago? It's there's a lot of things with spring. We think of new life. There is, and we heard this morning, we heard about, just heard in the, Brother Ralph mentioned in his prayer about fruit. And we think of life, we think of fruit, we think of things we, foods that we enjoy. How many of you have been enjoying these strawberries that have been showing up here locally? Not grown here, but it's hard to beat good strawberries with shortcake and just all kinds of ways with fruit and yogurt, granola. There's just pretty good. And you know, there's a difference in those berries. There's some of those, I always look at them a little bit nervously when I see them in the store, because too many times we've gotten them and there is no flavor there, and you might as well just, it's just, they look all right, but they don't, something was wrong the way they were grown. But these that we've been getting recently are, taste like they should, pretty much. They're good. But when we think of our spiritual lives, and that's been going through my mind the last while, spiritual life, spiritual fruit. And I'm talking to several people that have mentioned that to us too in the past couple weeks here. You know, how do we know that it is the Holy Spirit? How do we know that it is the right Spirit? And I'd like to, if we turn to John chapter 17, a couple of verses there that I'd like to bring in, and you can turn with me or I can just read them here, but there's two parts in that, verse 11 and verse 21, 10 verses later. Now the last phrase in verse 11 says, that they may be one as we are. So who is he talking about there? He says, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So I think he's talking about, clearly about the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, that they may be one. And he's talking about his church, his bride. He's talking about his children today. You can be one of, we can be, as his children, we are one of those, that they may be one as we are. And then if we go to verse 21, the same chapter, he says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So that's Christ's desire for his bride, for his church. That's the desire he has for every one of his children, that they may be one as we are. So when we think of the spiritual life and growth in believers in comparison to fruit, a fruit-bearing tree, we think of the fruit, the evidence of the health and the vigor of that tree, the fruit or the vine or wherever we're getting our fruit. You know, the believer's life, his attitudes, his behavior should reflect the presence of the Holy Spirit. So how do we know? Somebody, I've heard it asked, you know, how do you know that it's the Holy Spirit? Well, so if it's the Holy Spirit, it shouldn't conflict. We have the Word. We have the living Word. If we go to John, the first chapter 1, the first verse, he says, I'll just turn there so I get it right. Amy quoted it last Sunday here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. So the Word was God. The Word walked the earth. That's Christ. That's the life of Christ. And so we have the written word, but Christ walked this earth. He is the Word. He was in the beginning. He was at creation. He was on the mount when the Ten Commandments were given. He was on the mount there in Matthew chapter 5 when the Beatitudes were given. And he brought those commandments to a whole new level, a level that comes from the heart, a level that comes from a true life within. It's spontaneous. It just flows out. So believers should exhibit evidence of their conversion. James 3:13 says, "Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Matthew 3:8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Luke 3, verse 8 and 9, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also is the axe laid into the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So I'm going to read, quote, quite a few verses here, but it talks a lot about fruit. "You have not chosen me," John 15:16, "but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So if the fruit doesn't line up with Scripture, so if we go back to Ephesians 5, verse 25, He's given the comparison there of the church to the husband and wife relationship. But in 5:25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish." So to say that this is, if the Holy Spirit is not going to give the opposite of that, If we're not following that command, but we claim that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, is it the Holy Spirit? I believe there's another spirit. You know, he says, "Try the spirits to see whether they be of God." And it's we can use his word to try the spirit, to try the spirits. The nature of spiritual fruit, we have Galatians 5:22, very familiar verse. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And that's not an option for the believer. That is not, we can't choose to have love. We can't choose to have joy. We're going to leave the rest of them. We can't choose to have peace. But that is a fruit. Those all go together, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Philippians 1:9-11, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." So where's the source of our spiritual fruit? It's by accepting the gospel, the words that he's given, Luke 8:15. "But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Matthew 13:23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So if we have that new life, if we have the Holy Spirit, then the old life has to be put to death. John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So to bring forth fruit, it must die. That kernel of corn must die. And so the old man must be crucified if we're going to bring forth fruit. Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The believer should not be characterized by sin. True, we're in this old nature, we're going to deal with it, we're going to struggle with it, but it's not what characterizes us. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 5:24. Ephesians 4:24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Actively living a new life in Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a couple verses out of Peter, 2 Peter 1:5 through 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read a few verses out of John 15:4 through 5, talking about living a new life in Christ. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vines, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So we have, if you look up fruit, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's a lot of verses there that, talk about fruit bearing. So I just challenge you to take time sometime and look those up. What does the fruit of our life bear? What does it bring forth? Are we getting our cues from, is it the Holy Spirit that is directing our life? Are we living close to that vine? Just in closing, I'd like to again quote out of John 17 there, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Let's kneel together for prayer.